David learned the hard way that pride will inevitably wreak havoc on one's life. It's the LifeSpring One-Year Bible, coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. My name is Steve Webb. I'm your OG Godcaster. It's Psalms Wednesday, and we'll read chapters 131 through 133. We'll also have our last essential segment, and we'll have a time of prayer. The website is lifespringmedia.com, and I'll have contact information at the end of the show. Before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together, and we thank you for the Psalms which we're going to be reading today. I pray, God, that you would teach us as we read. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, are you ready? Let's begin. Psalm 131 is also one of the songs of ascent, and this is one of David's. Commentators think it may have been written when David was being hunted by King Saul, or after David's wife, Michal, accused him of vulgar, undignified behavior when he danced in celebration when the Ark of the Covenant was returned to Jerusalem. In this psalm, David denies any pride or ambition. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "It is one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn. It speaks of a young child, but it contains the experience of a man in Christ." Psalms chapter 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 132 is also a song of ascent, and even though no author is attributed in the title, a case for Solomon as the author can be made. James Montgomery Boyce wrote, "Since Psalm 132 verses 8 through 10 are quoted in 2 Chronicles 6, 41 and 42 as part of Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple, this psalm probably dates from Solomon's reign, even though the title does not identify it as Solomon's psalm. Psalms chapter 132. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, "I will not enter my house or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of Jair. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one." The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. "One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints will shout for joy. There I will make a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine." The title of Psalm 133 is A Song of Ascents of David, and this is the last of the series of 15 to be written by him. We don't know the time or event of the writing, but perhaps it was when all of the tribes were once again reunited under David's rule. Boyce wrote, "It could date from the crowning of David at Hebron, when the leaders of the nation were, for a time at least, of one heart and mind." See 2 Samuel 5:1 and 1 Chronicles 12:38-40. Psalms chapter 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Psalm 131 is David's song in which he declares that pride has no place in his heart. For someone with as many accomplishments as David had, it can be very difficult not to harbor pride or arrogance, and we know from Scripture that David had at least one bout with pride when he got into trouble with Bathsheba. To be sure, lust was a big part of his sin, but pride was at the root of his fall. He thought that he could get away with his sin with Bathsheba and the subsequent sin of the murder of her husband. But the cascading consequences of the first sin reverberated for many, many years. David learned the hard way that pride will inevitably wreak havoc on one's life, and in this psalm he says that he has learned that it is much better to be content with God and the blessings he brings to a contrite heart. Oh, beloved, would that we would learn this lesson early in life instead of spending wasted years in pursuit of glory, riches, and power. A heart in pursuit of a vital, dynamic, deep relationship with God will always result in a life infinitely more fulfilled. It'll be a life that leaves an eternal legacy. But even if we learn the lesson later in life, as David did, we know from this psalm that our heart can find peace with God despite earlier failures. Coming to Christ, admitting that we need the forgiveness that only He can bring, is but the first step in laying down our pride. And from that point on, He begins the work of making us a new person, the person He created us to be. What are your thoughts? Do you have any questions? Let me hear from you. Send a boostergram or call the LifeSpring Family Hotline, or go to the comments page or write an email. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. Tomorrow will be Poetry Thursday, and our reading will be Ecclesiastes 7 and 8. Jason Pascal came in with $50 via Zelle, and since I see that he too has been donating at this level for many months, he too is now an executive producer. Man, thank you, Jason. Not only has Jason consistently been supporting the show a treasure, but he's been donating time and talent by creating some beautiful show art. God bless you, Jason. Thank you so much. And Lester Graber came in with $20 as well. Thank you so much, Lester. Lester's been a LifeSpring family member for quite some time now, and like me, he's a grandpa with several more grandkids than me. So he's a busy guy. I appreciate you, Lester. God bless you. Thank you.
Boostergram.
Fountain user S. Smarriquin 3 sent in a 1,000 sat boostergram. Pew! He said, God bless. Well, God bless you too. Thank you, S. Smarriquin 3. S. Mariquin 3 and I are now following each other on Instagram, and you can follow me too if you'd like. I'm OG_Godcaster at Instagram, and I'll follow you back, especially if you message me to let me know you're a LifeSpring family member. I don't post a lot over there, but when I do post, I try to make it interesting, and I'd love to see what you're doing. Beloved, as you know, the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is here for you every day of the week to help keep you on track to read through the entire Bible in a year. We're almost there. There are no advertisers, but expenses do need to be paid, and that's where you come in. If you value the show because it is helping you stay in the Word every day, or because of the comments I bring to you on every show and the fact that I don't compromise God's Word, then please support the show. Donate what you feel is equal to the value you receive from the show. Pray about it, would you? And then go here and do what the Lord is leading you to do.
LifeSpringMedia.com/support.
I'll thank you, and I believe that God will bless you.
LifeSpringMedia.com/support.
This is the 20th and final installment in our series on the essentials of the faith. In our last essential segment, we talked about the second coming of Jesus to the earth. This week, we'll complete our essential series with this. The Lord Jesus Christ commanded all believers to proclaim the gospel throughout the world and to disciple men of every nation. Did you ever wonder why you're here? What is the reason for your existence? Why were you born? Those are pretty big questions, aren't they? For the atheist, the non-believer, I think probably the answer would probably be, well, there is no ultimate reason. It was just a chance meeting of sperm and egg. I happen to be the result. I'm just along for the ride, and when I die, I die. Well, for the believer, we at least know that we were created in the image of God, right? That's a great start, but is there more? Why are we here? Is there something more? If there's not, then why not just immediately go into the presence of God when we accept Jesus as our Savior? Why go through the trials of life if there's no purpose beyond our salvation? Well, if you've been with me this season, you know that we are currently reading through the book of Ecclesiastes on our Poetry Thursdays. And this is the question that Solomon is wrestling with, isn't it? Well, since we're on the subject, I'll give you a spoiler. Solomon's conclusion is this: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Fear God and keep his commandments. Please remember that the word fear there does not mean to be afraid of or terrified, as if God were some sort of monster or wild thing that might kill you at any moment for no reason. Fear here means to have an awe and a respect for God. Also, remember the time in which Solomon lived. He lived before Jesus came and revealed God's plan of redemption. In Jesus, we see a God who loves us so much that he's willing to do everything necessary to reconcile sinful, undeserving man to himself, who is a perfect and holy God. So maybe there's more to life than just fearing God and keeping his commandments. In Psalm 73, 25 and 26, Asaph wrote, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Oh my goodness, beloved, did you hear that? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Wow, to have this kind of relationship with a loving God takes it so much further than just fearing and obeying him, doesn't it? But Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." When we love someone, we naturally want to do things for them, don't we? We want to please them. We want to bring them joy. And just before Jesus left the disciples and ascended into heaven, he left them with a commandment and a promise. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus did not mean this message only for those 11 disciples standing there. How could they have gone to all the nations? No, beloved, this message is for all of us. This message is for the church, as a whole and as individuals. Each of us, wherever we are, has a call to take the message of the gospel to those around us. When he said, "Go therefore," he didn't mean, get on a plane and, go to the deepest, darkest reaches of the world. He was saying, "Go as you live your life and do this. Tell them about me so that they will also come to know me. Teach them about what I have said." And beloved, of course, his promise should give us strength and hope. He said, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Beloved, we are not in this alone. He is with us. He is closer than a brother. He is our God. He is our Savior. He's our friend. As we obey him, as we live in fellowship with him, we fulfill the ultimate purpose for the believer. We bring glory to God. We point people to him. Our purpose in life is not to say, "Look at me, aren't I great?" Our life should say, "Look at God, isn't he great?" Each of us can do that wherever we are. You don't need a pulpit. You don't need thousands of social media followers. And you don't need this microphone in front of your face. You can do it at work. You can do it at school. You can do it in your home. You can do it at the grocery store. You can do it wherever you are. Bring glory to God. Share his goodness. Share his message of hope, love, and good news. Amen. Praises and prayer requests. On last Sunday's prayer time, LifeSpring Family Berean Brother Paul of Seattle had a praise that his cousin's wife had given birth to their first child, but he didn't tell us whether it was a boy or a girl. I asked for details. So Brother Paul sent this note. He said, "Oh yeah, his name is Titus." Titus, what a great name. Give them our best, Brother Paul. Thanks for the update. And Brother Paul sent this praise report in, too. He said, "Hi, Steve. First off, I like the new Samba Mamba Rumba music. It reminds me of Mario Kart. A while back, I sent in a prayer request about a house, asking for God to open or close the door to the place. Well, unless something crazy happens now, we'll be closing on the place at the end of August. Hey, praise the Lord for that. Great." He said, "This place must have been from God because of three things. First, it's been sitting empty for 2 years, and really, they should have put it on the market 2 years ago because they probably would have got, get this, about 33% more or so out of it. 33 is the magic number, right? And then that brings us to item two, the price. What we're paying for it seems like a deal. Everyone says so. We believe the sellers are happy with the price as well, so everyone is good all around. But it still feels like it could have gone for more. And lastly, number three, when they put it on the market recently, it was sitting on the market for much longer than it should have been, and nobody made an offer until we did. It really seems like this is the place God has for us, which also brings up two more prayers. Well, first, let me stop there. Yes, it does exactly seem like the place God wants for you. He knew it was there. He knew you were going to be in this place right now. And so, boom, he saved it for you and presented it right at your feet. Praise God. Okay, two more prayers. Paul says we're continuing to ask God to show us what he wants us to do for him. And number two, giving God the praise for the house when talking to others, specifically not just Christian others, but anyone who says, wow, that's crazy, you got this house. Paul says it's happened some already, and I want it to be a natural expression in conversation, not a forced, God did it, in an awkward conversational sort of way. You know, when someone forces something out of the blue and it kind of kills the conversation. Paul says, that was long-winded, sorry, but wanted to show how we think God set this place up for us. And I won't go into how we got our first place, which, looking back, must have been by God's hand, and which is also making it possible to get our new place. Well, Paul, those are good things to ask for, and we will certainly pray with you about that. And then LifeSpring family Berean Phil Colburn sent in this prayer request. Here it is. He said, hi, Steve. I went to donate, and the credit card option is no longer visible to my eyes. I'll try again soon. Okay, let me stop there. Brother Phil, I don't know what might be going on. When you go to the donation page, if you go down to the first giving option, you'll see a box there with different options for giving different amounts. And then at the bottom, there is a place for, fill in your own amount. I forgot what it's called there. But if you step through that process, it'll step you through to the place where you put in your credit card information. I'm pretty sure that's probably what you're missing. And then if not that, then you can scroll a little bit further down and find the PayPal option in perhaps use that. PayPal does let you use a credit card if you want. And so now let's continue to Brother Phil's prayer request. At church, we have a singer named Dallas. He's suffering from aphasia. Okay, I had to stop and see what aphasia is. I thought I knew, but I wasn't sure. So according to, this was WebMD, it says this. Aphasia is a communication disorder that makes it hard to use words. It can affect your speech, writing, and ability to understand language. Aphasia results from damage or injury to language parts of the brain. It's more common in older adults, particularly those who have had a stroke. Aphasia gets in the way of a person's ability to communicate, but it doesn't impair intelligence. How frustrating would that be, right? Continuing, it says, people who have aphasia may have a hard time speaking and finding the right words to complete their thoughts. Maybe I have aphasia because that happens to me often. I'll be in a conversation with somebody and I want to say a word and it just won't come out and it's so frustrating. Continuing, they may also have problems understanding conversation, reading and comprehending written words, writing words, and using numbers. People with aphasia may also repeat words or phrases. Brother Phil says, Dallas is a fantastic singer with a powerful voice. He has a crafty technique to include others in expressing their opinion. This brings people out of their shell. And although he is clearly our best male singer, in my view, he is also very humble and supportive of others. Please pray for Dallas's recovery. Well, we'll certainly do that. And my goodness, that must be very, very difficult for a singer. You don't say, Phil, if this affects his singing. I know with stutterers, people who stutter really badly when you start them singing a song, they can sing the song perfectly without stuttering. So I'm wondering if Dallas can still sing, even with aphasia. That would be interesting. Let us know about that, Phil. And then a couple of days ago, Kevin Dills sent in a donation, and he included this at the end of his note. He said, since tomorrow is Sunday, I should probably give you a prayer request as well. I'd like to ask the LifeSpring family to pray for me that I can break my addictions. I don't want to go into a lot of detail. That isn't necessary, Kevin. You don't need to. But the Lord knows what they are. He
He said, I know that they're part of what is separating me from him, and I definitely know that they're keeping me from living the kind of life that I want to live. Well, Kevin, brother, you are not alone. Even the Apostle Paul struggled with overcoming sin, and James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, we all sin in many ways. But, Kevin, as you know, the fact that all of us sin should not give us license to sin. There's a really good article on overcoming habitual sin over at gotquestions.org. And if you go to lifespringmedia.com/habit, it will take you to that article. And my youngest son, Tim, told me yesterday that he's beginning to take classes on learning to write code, and he asked for prayer. So far, he is enjoying it, but he's really just beginning. Now, Tim has taught himself how to play guitar really quite well, and it's been said that music and coding have a lot in common. So Tim is asking for prayer that the Lord will direct him as he explores this new endeavor. And then this came in from the lovely Lady Leanne. You know her, right? Yeah, she's the one I'm married to. She and I went to Alaska just recently. Yeah, that one. She said, hi, sweetie. I have a few people wrapped into this request again. Sorry, she said. I'm sure the LifeSpring family remembers you mentioning Pastor Bennett. Of course, Pastor Bennett did a podcast here called In the Word with Mel Bennett, but he got too sick to continue that. Leanne says, well, I'm asking them to pray for him and his lovely, caring, sweet wife, Joanne. Pastor's health, as we have discussed before, is very bad, and he's now wheelchair-bound and blind. I didn't know, by the way, that Pastor Bennett had gone blind. He's been blind in one of his eyes since he was a child. An injury happened. But I didn't know that he had lost the sight in his other eye as well, so that's sad. And Leanne continues, but Sister Bennett is... And that's what we call his wife, Sister Bennett. At our church, everybody was brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. So both Leanne and I feel uncomfortable calling her Joanne. She's kind of the matriarch of the church. Anyway, Sister Bennett is such a loving and dutiful wife, a true Proverbs 31 woman, and a great godly example for Leanne growing up. And she feels that she should be the one who takes care of him. But she won't allow the kids to bring someone in to help out, and it's destroying her health. Her daughters Heidi and Candy and their husbands do try to come by often and help out, but they can't be there as much, obviously. Please pray for God's will and that she will feel the release from God to ask for help. Yeah, they have three grown daughters who are all married. They all have kids, and obviously they have busy lives. They all used to live here in California. But a few years ago, they moved out to Virginia. So the whole family is back there. And then Leanne says, now for Gladys. And Gladys used to be the church secretary. She worked for Brother Bennett as the church secretary for, I think she was actually there longer as the church secretary than he was there as pastor. And he was there for about 30 years. So her health is also failing. She's in a skilled nursing facility, but is failing, and she relies heavily on Heidi, which is one of Pastor Bennett's daughters. And that leads us to praying for all the Bennett daughters and husbands for strength and guidance through all of this. So the oldest daughter is Candy, and then there is Heidi, and their youngest daughter is Heather. And each of them are married to, let me see if I can get them in order here, Mike and Barry and Dan. So we need to pray for all six of them. So, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, like David, we ask you to give us a deep and lasting desire to be close to you, to follow you, to desire a true relationship with you. Father, show us how to prioritize time with you and make it our most important time of the day. And Father, now we pray for Brother Paul of Seattle. We thank you, Lord, that you sent him to this house and that you held this house on the market for him all this time and that you got him such a great deal. And we thank you, Lord, for Titus. Now that we know his name, I pray, God, that as he grows, that he would become a man of God, that he would seek after you, that he would love you, and that he would serve you. Give wisdom and direction to his parents and to the extended family as they raise him in the nurture and admonition of your word. Also, we pray that you would give Paul and his wife the words to say about how you provided this house to people in conversation. Help it, Lord, to be just something that's natural, and that people can see that you were actually there, that you actually did it, and that it's not a weird kind of a thing that, oh, by the way, God did this for us. Father, make it something that just flows from their lips. And for Brother Phil's prayer request, we pray for Dallas, this aphasia. I pray, Lord, that you would heal him of this. Whatever damage may have happened in his brain, I pray, God, that you would touch that and that you would give him the ability, Lord, to communicate fluently for you. We pray, Lord, for Kevin and the habitual sin that he struggles with. Father, you have given us the ability to have a triumph over sin. We know, Lord, that we are no longer slaves to sin. But it's so hard sometimes to say no to the body and to do the thing that is right. And Father, I pray that you would help him and anyone else, Lord, who's listening right now that is struggling with some sort of a habitual sin, whether it be a chemical addiction or anything else. Father, I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you would heal all of us, Lord, from any addictions that we have. And now, Lord, I pray for Brother Bennett and for Sister Bennett. I pray, Father, that you would make this as easy a time as can be. Lord, it's not easy getting old, and it's not easy to go through the frailties that we get. And I pray, Lord, for Sister Bennett as she has to sort of let go of some of the caregiving. She's old, too, and her health is failing. And I pray, Lord, that you would make it easier for her to accept help from outside people. I pray, God, that you would send just the right person or persons into their family that can help with Brother Bennett and Sister Bennett as well. It's such a hard thing to let go, and I pray, God, that you would just help them to loosen their grip a little bit. And we pray for Heidi and Barry and Candy and Mike and Heather and Dan, and that they would be able to help as much as possible and help to ease the transition of moving the care away from Sister Bennett exclusively. And just in this transition in their lives, Father, I pray that you would be there, that you would bring just a peace of mind and a peace of heart and bring comfort to everybody concerned. This is so hard. I've been through it myself, and I pray, God, that you would help. And we pray for Gladys, Lord. Be with her. Help her, Lord, to understand that Heidi can't be there all the time. And I know that Gladys is beginning to lose some of her thinking facilities. And I pray, Lord, that you would just be with her. Help her, Father, to remember you and to rest in you and to just enjoy the fellowship that she can have with the Holy Spirit and just ease her through this time as well. I pray for Leanne's work. She didn't mention it again, but it's on my mind that, you know, she's really struggling. Car sales have gotten really difficult, what with the economy, and I pray, Lord, that you would bring people to her that are able and willing, who truly need a new car, whether it be a new or used, that truly need a new car for them, and that you would bring the deals to her that the store needs, that she needs, and that our family needs. And now, Lord, I pray for Maui and Lahaina specifically and the people, Lord, that lost so much. I pray, God, that you would be with them. I pray that you would bring comfort. I pray, Lord, that you would bring help. I thank you, Lord, for the people that are rushing to the area, either physically or just sending donations to help rebuild. So many people have lost loved ones, and I pray, God, that you would comfort their hearts. I pray, Lord, that they would turn to you, that they would find you maybe for the very first time and know that you are the God who heals, the God who provides. I pray, God, that you would bless the LifeSpring family today. For those that are hurting, I pray that you would be their healer. I pray, Lord, that you would be their provider. I pray, Lord, that you would walk close to each one of us. Show us your love, Lord, and help us, Lord, to lean on you and receive comfort. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday will be our next time of prayer. Let me know how the LifeSpring family can pray for you. Details are coming right up.
Please leave a message.
Let me hear from you. The best way is with a Boostergram using a modern podcast app from podcastapps.com. The next best way is to call the LifeSpring family hotline at what? Yeah, +1-951-732-8511. If you'd rather use your keyboard for prayer requests and praise reports, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. If you want to leave a comment, go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. And last, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thank you. thanks to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Scott Snyder, Jason Pascal, and Sister Brittany for their generous donations of time and talent. And again, Jason did today's show art, as well as being today's executive producer. Thank you, Jason. And also thanks to Lester Graber. Thanks to both of those guys for helping to make this episode possible. And last but clearly not least, thank you, beloved, for making the LifeSpring One-Year Bible part of your day. Lord willing, I'll be back with another episode tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
The LifeSpring One-Year Bible is solely supported by your value for value donations of time, talent, or treasure.